Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. We are just grateful to have you with us this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yeah, he created this. Can't nobody take it away from him. He created this day. Yeah, and we should be grateful. We should be humble that he has allowed us to be in his day. Yeah, yeah, in his creation. Yes, we thank him. Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Did you hear what I said? Each of us, every one of us, will give an account of ourselves to God. It's in Romans now. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Yeah. You may not give an account today, but in due time you will give an account. Yeah. You're going to give an account to God. Yeah. Why? Because he is that kind of God. He's a God of order. He's a God of order. Yeah. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this moment. We thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed us to come together and just learn more about you, God. Learn more about your will, your way. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus to look upon us, God, the listeners, God. We ask you, God, to teach this lesson. Teach us, God. Teach us. Master, we know that you are the greatest teacher. We ask that you teach us. And we will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor. Because it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And we thank God. We thank God. Yeah, we thank God for you. And we thank God for you. Bless his holy name. Bless his name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just that kind of God. Yeah, he's that kind of God that we should always, always thank him and give him reverence because he's always looking out for us. When we are not looking out for ourselves, God is looking out for us. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to move quickly into our lesson, and we see that we didn't start off this year with talking about a diet or talking about a what you call those things, John? The resolutions, and we didn't, no. Why? Because we have outgrown that. Yeah, we've outgrown that. Yeah, because we know how we're supposed to eat. We know how we're supposed to get proper rest. We know how to take care of our bodies. And so this is something that we do all the time. It's not something that we just start and stop. We do it all the time. Why? Because we glorify and edify God through our bodies. Yeah. God can't do nothing with you when you're broken down. He can't do nothing. He can't use you. So we got to take care of our bodies. Yeah. Our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, yeah. So listen to this lesson. Being held accountable. That's where we are tonight. Being held accountable. Accountability to God. Yeah. Yeah. We are held accountable to God because he is perfectly. He's holy. And because he is the creator of all things, he created everything. Yeah, everything. Each and every one of us will stand before God and be held accountable. Am I talking to anybody? Yeah. Yeah. If you're not standing there now, you're going to stand at one point or sometime in your life, you're going to be standing and you have to give account of every deed. You hear what I said? Yeah, every deed. Every deed that you've uttered out of your mouth, every action that you have taken, you have to give account to an almighty God. Listen to this. We will be comparing to the law of God. This is what we're going to do. We're going to show the law of God We're going to look at it and to see how well we have kept it. How well have we kept it? Yeah, because see, here tonight, we're concerned about us. We're concerned about our journey, our walk with God. Yeah, because if it's not right, we want to tighten up our shoelaces and get it right. We want to learn how to walk straight, huh? Straighten up our back, huh? Yeah. Sit high. We want to sit tall. We want to sit correct. We want to walk down a straight street. Am I talking to anybody? So we're going to move quickly. And remember, we're talking about being held accountable. Mm-hmm. Being held accountable. Accountability to God is very similar to the courts. The only difference is you may have to deal with the consequences. And you see, that's where we are with this. When we see so many things going on today, yes, we go to God. Yes, we repent to God. But we still may have to deal with the consequences. Remember that. Consequences. Consequences go along with being accountable. Listen to what I'm saying. Consequences. And a lot of them are sometimes, many of them are our fault. We have created this. We have created that monster. Yeah. We were the ones that were so, our ears were so easily itched and anxious to run to every wind and every doctrine that Satan threw out. We were the ones. Point your finger at you. You were the one. I was the one that did that. Yeah, nobody else. Nobody else did that. So we're going to move quickly to 2 Samuel. We're going to go to 2 Samuel. And we're going to start in chapter 11. Chapter 11. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start at verse 2. Let me get it right. Chapter 11. Okay. Yeah. Here we are. So we all know the story behind David. And we know how David, at one time, he was the sheep. He was a sheep herder. He used to take care of the sheep and tend to them. And, you know, and he was just, really, no one knew him other than his family. Nobody knew anything about David at one time. But only God could bring us to a place where we never been and where no one knew us, only God. And so here we see in this particular lesson, David has become a king. Mm-hmm. He's gone through a lot to get to this place, but only through the mercy and the love and kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that David is here. Yeah, now let's see what David does with what he has. Yeah, what God has given him. David, who was a mighty king, had a huge army. He was a mighty fortress. He was a king that fought many battles, and he won. Mm-hmm. David was the apple of God's eyes. The apple of his eyes. Think about that, the apple. You know, when I was looking at this lesson, I was thinking about the relationship that parents have with their children. Yeah, some of them are the apple of your eyes. You know, they can't do anything wrong. You know, you just can't believe that they would do anything terrible because you love them so much. Yeah, the love that some parents have for their children. So we're going to just move quickly to verse 2, and it says that David walked on the roof. It was on the roof. It was a flat roof. Yeah, in those days they had like flat roofs. And every now and then I'd see a house, even today, that has a flat roof. And usually you very seldom you see them, because the purpose of having a house that does not have a flat roof is for the water to be able to run right off instead of becoming stagnated in a certain spot, and that could actually damage the roof. So in this particular story, we see that there was a flat roof. This was a roof in those days where David was able to, just like there was a, imagine a bay window or whatever, and even a balcony, and you could just come from there, probably had stairs, and he can go up and go on top of the roof and sit up there or whatever, and just enjoy the sun, or just enjoy the view, or just enjoy the breeze. And so here we see that David was on the top of the roof. Yeah, and his men were out in battle and place where he should have been, but he chose not to be in battle. But in while David was on top of the roof, he began to look through the different windows that were available. Because, you know, when you're on top of a roof, you're usually, if you have a two-story or three-story home, and the neighborhood is built that way, you could look into someone else's window. You could see their deck, or you could see their balcony. You could see certain things. And so David began to look, and then he was startled because he saw this beautiful woman, and she was actually bathing. She was so beautiful. David could not take his eyes off of the woman. Think about that. Should we not be interested in this picture? What we see with our own eyes, should we run when we see things that we know? Just for a second, we know we shouldn't be looking. We shouldn't see that. We shouldn't have our eyes that way. Should we run? Or what should we do? Should we tarry? That's what I began to think about when I was reading about that. Because, you see, one thing about God, he always gives us a way out. Yeah, you have a chance. Yeah, you're not bound to that. You have a choice. You could either run or you could stay. So here we see in verse 3, David, he was curious. He was very curious. Yeah, he was curious. Like so many of us are curious. David was curious, and he wanted to know, wow, who was that woman? Who was she? Huh? And so David, being a king, he was a mighty king. Remember, a mighty king. So David kept on wondering, who is she? She is beautiful. And he didn't take his eyes off of this lady who was bathing. And she was minding her own business. And, you know, when I looked at this and I began to think, and, you know, when you allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you, the Holy Spirit was saying here, now, some of us could say this. Was she setting David up? Did she know that she was close to the king's palace? Did she know that she was close to where he lived, and she decided that she would actually do this type of thing or do this bathing at this particular time of the day? See, this is where you have to keep your mind open. Keep your mind open. Keep your mind open. It's possible. But at the same time, who is our God? Who is our God? And that's what's more important. Who is our God? Who is our God when we are tempted, when we see things that we shouldn't see? Who is our God? Should we stay or should we run? Look at that. Look at that. Did he tarry? Stay too long? Verse 4 tells us, David sent the messenger to the woman. Yeah, he sent a messenger to her. Yeah, yeah. He wanted to know who she was, and he wanted to see her. Yeah. But remember, in verse 3, it stated that the messenger had already told David who her father was, and he'd already told him who her husband was. So this meant that she was a married woman, and David was aware that she was married. Yeah. He was aware. Now, keep in mind how easily it is for us to get into traps. Very easy, very easily. So David was interested in seeing her. So once the messenger brought her back, he brought her back to see the king. Now, David knew everything about her. He knew who she was. He knew who her husband was. He knew who her father was. But he still had desires for her. Isn't it something? And this is something that we see today, and many times we who are in Christ today have fallen. I want you to understand that. God knows that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned, in maybe not in this way, but in another way. Because Satan sets up traps. He sets up traps for all of us. None of us are exempt from a trap. Yeah, yeah. Nevertheless, we should know that the enemy is setting us up. We should know this because we should know who we are in Christ. We should know that some of the tricks are. We should have learned this. We should have this information under our belts. Huh? Yeah. We should know that when we sin, we taste it. We should know that when we continue in sin, that means we're staying there. We're staying there. Huh? And then we know that if we keep tasting the sin, it becomes satisfying to us. Yeah. And before you know it, we're in serious iniquities. So the sin has drawn us in, and we're there for a long time. We're there for a long time. And the length of time that we're there, the sin has a way of making us think we're doing the right thing. Am I talking to anybody? Sin has a way of talking to you and making you feel that this is right. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. Hmm? Yeah. As for her husband, Uriah, David knew that her husband was Uriah. Yeah, he knew it. Yeah. David had him, Uriah. He had his captain go to Uriah, and he had him, I'm paraphrasing right now, he had him to put Uriah in the army. Yeah, yeah, Uriah. Probably had never been in the army before. Probably had never fought before. Because he didn't appear in the story as someone that was military, that was, you know, that type of person. You know, everybody is not military. So he didn't appear to be a military man. But nevertheless, David wanted him to be on the front line. Yeah, he wanted him to be. Put him out there. Put him on the front line. Yeah. So this was his decree. This was his call. This is what he desired. And this is what happened. Yeah, sin. Sin. Once it becomes iniquity, you've been here a while. You've been there a while. Yeah. You've been there. And you begin to become weaved into this sin. You become relaxed in it. You become comfortable in this sin. Huh? Yeah. Yes. We're going to move quickly to chapter 12. And again, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm just going to tell you something about what we're getting ready to witness. And here in chapter 12. Now, remember what David had done. David had set Uriah up. He had set him up to be killed because he figured that if he go ahead and get him killed, he could just go ahead and have his wife and he would just have her for himself. And the thing is, David had wives. But greed has sometimes taken over some of us. Oh, greed. When we become greed, we can't see anything but what we want, what our desire is. Yeah, we forget about God because we're into this greed thing now because we have fallen into sin. And so when we fall into sin, we are no longer in the presence of God. So that means God is not on our mind. We're not spending time with him anymore. We're not fasting. We're not praying because we what? We're caught up. Yeah, we're caught up into this. So now we see that the Lord, who sees all things, yes, he sees all things and he knows all things. He sends Nathan. He sends Nathan to David. And he comes to Nathan, to David. He tells Nathan to go to David in a parable. And you know, one thing about God, he always tries to make it plain to you as the nose that's on your face. You ain't got to wonder. You ain't got to wonder too hard. You don't have to think. You don't have to. It's going to come plain. Plain, because that's how our God is. He has no desire for any of us to continue in sin. So he told him about a poor man and a rich man. And he told him how the poor man had nothing but just a small lamb. And how a traveler came in the presence of the rich man, and how the rich man took the lamb that the poor man had and dressed it up to give it to the traveler instead of the rich man using something that he had already. Think about it. He had it already. He had much more. But instead he desired to steal, to take away, listen to this, from the poor man. Verse 4, it says, the rich man spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man had come unto him. But instead he took the lamb from the poor man. Think about that. Think about that. Yeah, think about how God is trying to show you. He's trying to show you. He's trying to show us. Yeah. A teachable moment. Mm-hmm. How to be accountable. How to be accountable for every deed that we have done. So he says here, now David became angry when he heard what Nathan was saying. And he became upset. And he said, what? Huh? David said, listen to this. David became angry and he said to Nathan, he shall greatly kindle against this man who has done this thing. He was upset because David felt that the man too should have given something that he already had and probably give something to the poor man. But he didn't. He took from him. He stole from him. Huh? Look at that. Think about it. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Look at it. The sin has a way of making you feel it's okay. It's justifiable. You can sweep it under the rug. Nobody's watching. It's okay. Sin. Oh, but God. Look at God. Look at God. Nathan said to David, you are that man, David. You, David, you're that man. Now, how many times have any of us had to go to somebody and tell them about themselves and tell them that God sent me here to talk to you, sister, or God sent me here to talk to you, brother? Huh? When I was looking at this and I was thinking about how Nathan, but he was a friend of David's now. This wasn't just no anybody coming to David. Remember, David was a mighty king. Mm-hmm. He was a mighty king. But then Nathan began to tell David, this was his friend, that the Lord had said this. He said, one, I anointed you to be king of Israel. Two, I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. Three, I gave you your master's house, your master's wife, unto your bosom. Four, and I gave you the house of Israel and all of Judea. Five, if that had been too little, I would have added much more. Look at God. Look at God. Huh? Think about it. Parents, your kid that got in trouble, your son or your daughter is standing before you. The child that you say is so good. They always do the right thing. But here they are. They're standing here now. Huh? Parent, what are you going to do? Parent, what are you going to do? Look at Proverbs. Proverbs 13 and 24. I'm going to hit it quickly. 24 says, he who spares his rod, look at that. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines diligently and punishes him, what? Early. It's not a long time that before you're going to get punished. It's not something I have to go sit down and think about. You have done wrong, and you did it today. I'm not going to wait next month to justify this. I'm not going to wait until next year to make you become accountable for what you have done, son or daughter. Here we see God is upset. His heart is broken. Because David, look at all the things he did for David. Look at what he did. Huh? How he gave him. He said he anointed him to be king of Israel. You know God could have gave somebody else that. Huh? But he anointed him. He handpicked him. Look at that. Verse 9 says, why have you despised the commandments of the Lord, doing evil in his sight? Huh? You slayed Uriah with the sword, and you took his wife. You murdered him, the sword. He didn't physically do it. He didn't physically do it. But he murdered him anyway because it was his idea. And he commanded it. He ordered it to be done because he was king. Yeah, being accountable. Being accountable. This is what's happening right here. God is showing David that you're going to be accountable. And here it is right here. He said, because you have done this, David. Huh? Paraphrasing this. He said, I shall show you this day that the sword shall never from your house. Hello? Anybody listen to what I'm saying? See, the thing is, you have to be accountable. Yes, I can go to God. I can repent. But the consequences of the sin still stands. Yeah. I will raise up. He said, I'm going to raise up evil against you out of your own house. And if you know the story behind David, it did happen. And he said, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbors. And you know that did happen too. Yeah. Pay your debts. A debt to society. That's what we say today. A debt to society. Huh? To serve the sentence given to one upon conviction of a crime. Yeah. Don't we say that? Yeah. Yeah. But David. Many have done this. He said, you may have done this, David, in a secret. And it was a secret, because nobody knew David was doing all of this. But God know. Hallelujah. God always know. He sees everything. He don't slumber, nor does he sleep. Hallelujah. He told David, you did it secretly, he said, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. He said, once this happened, you will know you sinned against God. Sinned against God. But Nathan came back and he told David this. He said, but David, you shall not die. Think about it. Think about it. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for showing us how to be accountable, God, showing us how to be accountable for our actions. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus to bless us in the area, open up our understanding so we can see in Jesus' name. We look forward to having you back here with us next Friday and, of course, on Sunday with Pastor Vivian George. And we thank each and everyone that's with us tonight. Glory be to God. Be blessed in Jesus' holy name. Amen.